You know, Brother Mike talked to yesterday, told me that he had talked with a couple of men that he had knew, and God dealing with them, God using your pastor. That's what it's all about, friend. Whether it's on the job or in Walmart or wherever you're at, in a restaurant, amen, just being sensitive that God would speak through you to someone. There's a lot of hurting folks today in how we're living, and I'm going to tell this, let her sing, but back home in the Anniston Star there in Anniston, Alabama, which is just south of Jacksonville, that's the dominant newspaper there in that area, and in that Anniston Star, they had wrote an article, and it was titled, we get a portion of the papers called Faith every week. This is an ultra-liberal newspaper. It's not a conservative by any means. They're extremely, extremely liberal. But in this particular article that day, they had had a headlines of, is it the end time? Amen. And I thought, man, if the world knows it and the world is recognizing it, I mean, we've got trouble in just about every nation on the planet. Amen. There's trouble somewhere. You can find somebody's life that needs a touch from God. Amen. Some form or some fashion. We ain't got time to fuss and fight and bicker amongst ourselves. Amen. We need to let that full measure work in us. And we can reach out to a lost and a dying world. I don't know about you, but I've got a son that's saved. And brother, he's had enough of bitterness. Amen. In church, he's seen enough of the bad side of Pentecost. What he needs is somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and a burden for the lost. Amen. That'll reach out to him and touch his soul. Amen. Before he dies lost. Amen. I'll tell you, if you claim to be saved and you've got no burden for the lost, you need to find you an altar somewhere and pray until God gives you a burden. Amen. For a lost and a dying world. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, you can bicker over isms and schisms all day long, but what we need is to rise above it, brother, and let the Spirit of God have His way in our hearts. Praise God. I know I asked her to sing, but man, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. We need it. Amen. The world needs it. Amen. I know we've heard the cliche that as the church goes, so goes the world. Amen, brothers, because and we're not burdened down with souls. But it's not just a pastor's job. It's not just a preacher's job. It is every one of our jobs as children of God. Amen. To take this good gift to a lost in a dying world and share with them that Jesus Christ still saves. He still sanctifies. He still fills with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not a thing of the past. It's not a thing, amen, that the liberals have mutilated. I don't care. These charismatics have taken it, and they have butchered it, and they have twisted it, and they have perverted it. But it's still a holy thing that was sent from the Father. Amen. It is a comfort. He's a guide. Amen. He's to bring judgment to this world. As Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, what did he preach? He preached Jesus. Amen. It may get old to some folks, but it's still the same message as it was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Amen. The same God that moved on D.L. Moody, and men of old and renowned, full of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's the same Holy Ghost tonight. As Paul, as he stood, I was reading earlier in the week in Acts chapter number 9. I thought there Paul stood. Amen. He was wreaking havoc on the church. I mean, he was hailing men and women to prison. Some were being killed. Some were sent, amen, brother, to their death. Amen. But there on the road to Damascus with very decrees in his hand to destroy the church. I mean, the very edicts, amen, came from the high priest. He was out to destroy. But a light shone down from heaven and converted that man of God. I mean, Ananias even said, Lord, his reputation precedes him. I've heard tell that he's killing your children. I've heard tell he's a wicked man. But the Lord said he's a chosen vessel unto me. Amen. Go to him and pray for him that he might receive his sight. Oh, come of us, so holy. Amen. The Lord spoke to us about some devil to pray for them. Amen. We'd ask the Lord to send it to somebody else. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. We'd be a lot like Ananias. We'd say, Lord, you just don't know what kind of reputation they had. Amen. Paul said, and such were some of you. Amen. Some of us were drunks. Amen. Some of us were fornicators and adulterers. Amen. Some of us were wicked and ungodly. But Paul said, you're washed. You're cleansed. You've been sanctified by the blood of Calvary. Such were some of you. Abominable. We don't have to get graphic. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Full of sin and abomination. But because Jesus Christ loved us and somebody had a burden. You're not just here because of the work of Calvary. Somebody had a burden. Somebody prayed. I've got a brother-in-law, sister-in-law's daddy's the oldest preacher. And he's the pastor there in Liberty Faith Holiness in Moultrie, Georgia. Brother Junior Morgan's now the pastor. But Brother Howard Dean was there. And Brother Howard Dean is my brother-in-law's daddy. And he got up and preached a white-headed preacher. I mean, you know, he wasn't real educated. I mean, he's from the old school. But that man could get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and preach such conviction. I'm telling you, for 5 solid weeks, amen, this abominable individual laid in them altars. And I cried and prayed. All I could pray was, God, forgive me. I didn't know what else to say. I'd say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry of my wickedness. I'm sorry of my abominations. Up in that 5th week, when the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and brother, I rose up with my hands in the air, and somebody had a burden. Baby, look like you might just sing at the altar. We'll just... We not lead lose our burden for souls. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate the survival. I appreciate the offerings. Everything you've done. All the hospitality. I believe this revival's been genuine. I believe the Lord has really come by and touched us. But He has touched us, Brother Jimmy Farley, for a reason. He didn't just come by to make you feel better about yourself. Oh, Holy Ghost. He didn't just come by so you could stand and say, well, I'm doing better now. Amen. There's work to be done. There are souls. You could probably name names and run out of the list. If you listed folks you know that are lost tonight, that you come in contact with every day, you could probably make a list pretty long right here in just a matter of minutes. But somebody's got to get a burden for them individuals. Somebody told Brother Mike today, I said, I'm going to make more contact. I'm going to start putting my son on the spot. I'm going to start telling him, amen, that he was dedicated when he was just a little baby boy. Amen. I told the Lord that he was His. He can run to the high heavens. He can find the lowest valley. But he cannot run from God. He cannot get away from the Spirit of the Lord. You can't make folks live it. You can't make them live it. But you can pray them till they do live it. You can pray for them until they repent of their sin. I remember as a young man, when I first got saved, I worked in a packing house where they killed hogs, and it was a very wicked place. Most of them big companies are. A lot of politics. A lot of things went on in that place. Man, that I'm ashamed to tell you I was a partaker of. Amen, before I got saved. I remember when I got saved, and we were... the Lord was helping us. I mean, God was moving for us. God was using us. I wasn't even called to preach. Or if I had been, I didn't know it or wasn't recognizing it. I was just excited about being saved. I mean, you remember those days? How we used to get a joy out of coming to church. And I mean, we couldn't wait to get to the house of God. I want to tell you, I think that these young folks that gathered about 5:30 over there is a product of this revival. I feel like the Lord sparked something inside of them to cause them to have a desire to be over there praying for a move of God. Amen. That's what we're needing anyhow. But I just is excited about God. I love the Lord, man. I was walking around that place. I had a song in my heart that I did not have. I had a joy down in my soul that I had never possessed. I had something inside of me that made me put one foot in front of the other every morning and excited to be alive. I was in doing a lot of work there, and I come around. We had a parts room. They had various parts for the different components. I was working in maintenance, and come around the corner, and two of the guys were standing there. Two older, one was an older man, another guy about my age that I kind of grew up with and been knowing him for years. And come around the corner, his name was Chip. And I walked around the corner, and Chip looked at me and said, "Isn't that right, Chuck?" I said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "The rapture." Now, these are two center boys. Talking about the rapture of the church. Now, I guess the Lord just set it up for me. But I mean, here I am, a young convert. What's the rapture? I mean, I didn't hardly know what the rapture was. I knew there was a catching away. But I didn't know anything about the rapture. More or less prophetic end time events. And I walked around the corner. And he said, "Isn't that right, Chuck?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He started talking to me. And just a few minutes later, the older gentleman just walked away. And there Chip and I were. And I noticed that Chip was genuinely concerned. And I wasn't like some folks. I didn't bluff my way through it. I was dumb enough to say, "Well, I don't really know, Chip." I said, "There's just something. I just got saved, man. I'm learning myself." I said, "But I do know there is the rapture. And I do know there is the catching away of the saints. I do know there's coming a time when the Lord's going to call His church home. I believe that. I still believe it tonight. I believe there's a catching away. I don't have to see rapture in the Bible to discount it or to prove it. I know in my heart that Jesus said I go away, but I'm coming again. I believe He's coming again to get His church." And I told Chip, I said, "Chip, I don't know that much about it. I've seen tears welling up in that big boy's eyes. He's about the size of Bobby. He meant big old youngin'. He meant he stood there and gripped me. I was a little bitty skinny fella about the size of Brother Dwight. I know that's hard to believe. That's about how size I was, am I not, wife?" And he reached out and grabbed me and lifted me off the ground and shook me. And he said, "Help me, Chuck. Help me, Chuck. I'm in trouble." I thought to myself, "My God, have mercy, friend. They're in trouble tonight. And they need somebody to get a hold of God. They need somebody to reach their never dying soul." And for almost an hour, we were in an open shop. And for almost a solid hour, I told Chip Laszlo about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We've confounded it. We've complicated it. But it was simple. I said, "Chip, we're sinners. We've got an Adam nature. We're sinners. We were born sinners. And Chip, we needed a remedy. Humanity still needs that remedy tonight. I like what Brother Mike said this morning. Everybody says they're saved. You meet people, they tell you. Brother Sloan told me, he said he didn't go to church nowhere. But he told everybody he was a Baptist. I said, that's why most folks are. Yeah. Honest people will tell you. If they're backslid, they'll tell you, "I'm backslid. I ain't doing right. My son doesn't condone. He knows he's wrong. He knows he's going to die lost if he don't get his heart right with God." And, but Chip didn't know that. Chip was in trouble in his heart. He didn't know why. wasn't even raised in church. That young boy never raised in the house of God. Never taught the things of God. I looked at him with tears rolling down his face. I took the chance of being pounded on that concrete. And believe me, he could have done it. Amen. I mean, I hate to say wormy because I was wormy. Brother Dwight's not wormy, but I was wormy. Amen. I had just been full of sin, man. I had my life, amen, had been wrecked. And I just got me a good haircut at that time. And Chip stood there. And after he set me down, I seen him turn loose and the floodgates of his soul opened up. And I began to talk to him. And I told him, Chip, I said, if you're just right here in this shop, I said, we don't even have to make us no altar. We don't even have to find us a church. You don't need a priest. Amen. All you need to do is turn your eyes toward heaven and surrender your life to the Son of God. I want to tell you right here, friend. Amen. What we're needing is men and women empowered with the Holy Ghost that'll reach out to a lost and a dying world. Amen. They don't have to come to Shadefield holding a church as long as they get saved and sanctified and make heaven their home. I mean, we want them here, but they don't have to come here. I leaned over at Brother Bailey, told me last night, he said, Brother Chuck, he said, I'm sorry, I missed service. I said, son, you done good. I said, if I read my Bible right, the Bible says we're fellow laborers. You know, doesn't matter to me. I don't know why I'm on this tonight. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be a preacher to witness to people. You don't have to be a preacher, pulpit minister to reach out to a lost and a dying world. I mean, look, Brother Mike's busy in hospitals and there are folks call him in trouble. There are people on your job that Mike, Brother Mike will never see. There are people in your little circle outside of this job that some folks will never ever be able to touch except you. I was talking about Jimmy and he was telling me about this homeless mission that we went and looked at his building. And he was telling me how he got started. He said one day he was driving down the street and he looked over and there was a mother and a father and children huddled in a corner, homeless. Said he went back to find them and he never could find them. I said, Brother Jimmy, did it ever occur to you that Jesus let you see them folks? And they weren't even there to give you a burden to reach out to a lost and a dying humanity. Huh? I'm telling you, man, what we need is people with a burden. I mean, it's all right to preach wholeness. And I know these boys are going to get me about this. I believe it. And they pick at me because I say that and then I move on to something else. And I won't elaborate on it. But I believe in holiness. I believe in righteous living. I believe our ladies ought to dress like ladies. I believe that they ought to submit themselves to their husband. Amen. I believe that a woman ought to dress according to what the Word of God says. And men as also, that we ought to conduct ourselves with modesty. Amen. But friend, may I tell you, somebody's got to reach out, amen, to these individuals. Somebody's got to reach out to a lost and a dying world, Brother Jimmy. Somebody's got to get a burden in their heart for souls, or we're going to be held accountable for the things that we do not do. We're so worried that we're going to sin, but we fail to realize the biggest sin that we can commit is a sin of omission, that we do not obey God and do not what thus saith the Lord.
My biggest fear is not that I'll commit adultery or that I'll fall into deep sin. My biggest fear is I'm going to miss God by not obeying the Lord. You know, bless God that I might miss Him. You know, if God hadn't sent somebody with the burden for you, if you're third, fourth generation Pentecostal folk and, you know, your mom and dad hadn't had a burden for you, you wouldn't be saved. If there was a preacher somewhere, a pastor, or an old prayer warrior, I'll guarantee you, if truth was told, there's people that pray in this church you don't even know they pray. They're calling out names before God you don't even know they're calling them. know, I believe that there are individuals that God will burden. If you've never had the Lord burden you, you need a burden. I'm not talking about a burden that distracts you. I'm talking about a burden that gives you purpose. A burden that gives you direction. Amen. I don't have the first note. I wasn't even going to preach this way. But amen. As far as I know, tonight's the last night of this meeting. Amen. And if there's anything we can do as a body of believers, amen, brother, that's to go forth from this revival. You've got a camp meeting coming up. May have a revival between now and then. I don't know. But you've got a camp meeting coming up. I've been in. I was in it last year. Great meeting. I mean, the last night was like it was last night. I mean, the Holy Ghost just come by. Reached out my heart. I seen that young man sitting on this pew. Brother Roger, I seen God deal with him from the time he walked in the church. Amen. Till he finally went and knelt at the altar. I knew in my heart that boy had a decision to make. I went and told him so. I don't normally do those kinds of things, but I whispered in his ear. I said, I know you don't know me, son. I know that you've never met me, but you've got a decision to make right here tonight. Amen. That's what we're needing, friend. We're needing somebody with a burden to bring individuals to a decision. And if it's not us, who is it? We're going to lose them to the Muslims? We're going to lose them to the Mormons. We're going to lose them to Jehovah's Witness. We're going to lose them to folks that teach a false doctrine. We're going to lose them to people that don't care about their soul. We're going to lose them to people that don't want anything but their money. People that won't do nothing to exploit them. That's right. You know why these guys lift testimonies up on their websites and on this other stuff? They do it to better themselves. They don't really care. They called a boy there in Atlanta, Georgia, W.B. Grant's son, Grant Jr. Called him right there in Atlanta, Georgia, had a microphone in his ear. Had a couple of cohorts talking to folks as they come into church, asking them questions, personally things, and then he'd get them in service to pull them up and act like he's prophesying to them. And he didn't physically have his hand in their wallet, but that's what he was after. And we're losing folks to that mess every day. People that you and I could touch. People that you and I, and I'm not talking about just going up and just catching them unguarded. I'm talking about going in prayer and getting a burden from the Holy Ghost and going out, brother. Amen. One fella said at Pentecost, amen, the saints went in, the prayers went up, the power came down and they went out. Amen, brother. They went out under the power of the Holy Ghost to reach a lost and a dying world. And I'm going to tell you, if you think Jesus isn't concerned about the way the church is set so lackadaisical, amen, through the years with no burden, no desire to see souls saved. Amen. I'm telling you, God's desire is in the book of Peter, amen, that all should come to the same knowledge and that none should perish. None. Zero. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, and don't fall out with me, but I am so sick of preachers. I'm tired of hearing them say, I butchered them, I busted them, I tore them up. I hear them young preachers. I told them, I ain't heard it lately. But I told my wife, I said, next time I hear one of them young boys say it, I'm going to rebuke him right there. I'm going to say, you show me in that word where God told you to tear them up. I believe in preaching on sin. And if you preach the word of God and it hits them, you can't help that. It hits them. They're guilty. Plain and simple. But when a man steps back and boasts, amen, that's like saying you're going to hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Did you know you're going to die lost and go to hell? Hallelujah. You tell a man he's going to hell, you ought to have tears rolling out of your eyes. You tell a man he's going to die lost, you ought to be squalling like a baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. A burden for humanity. A burden for souls. Amen. For had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for the tender mercies of God, had it not been
Amen. For an old rugged cross. Where would you and I be tonight? If it hadn't been for a loving God full of mercy. Amen. Aren't you glad He didn't send you judgment? Aren't you glad that He didn't send you what you deserved? Aren't you glad that He didn't send to you what you so rightly deserved? And I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Could we just lift our hands one more time here tonight and worship God? Lord, give me a burden. Give me a burden for souls. Give me a burden for lost in a dying world. Give me a burden for humanity. Hallelujah. When young men, when they lose their burden, when you lose your burden for souls, the singing that we have, the preaching that we have, the worship service that we have, the praying that goes on, all is for one purpose. And that is so someone will rise up. If they're discouraged, I mean, saved, it doesn't matter if they're saved, lost, or whatever. But that is for one purpose, and that's to help somebody. We have altars, not for sacrifice, but these are altars of incense. These are places that we come and kneel right at the very threshold of heaven. We kneel in prayer and humble submission to the Son of God. We surrender our will to His so that we might be used of Him. I told the other night, I said, you know, I made this statement. I said, if the devil cannot pull you down, he will push you up. If he cannot pull you down, he will fill yourself so full of yourself that you can't help anybody. I'm a firm believer, friend, that pride cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. God cannot use pride. God cannot use men and women filled, amen, brother, with indignation for one another. But he needs that humble, lowly servant that is willing to weep his way if necessary. Crawl if he has to find the will of God in his life. That's a submit to the
I'm gonna say this, and your pastor may get mad at me, but he's a powerful preacher, and I appreciate him. But he's got a humble side about him that most men don't have. And that's what I respect the most. His sensitivity. I don't remember what night it was. My wife came up and prayed. And she whispered in my ear and she said, pray that the Lord would make me more sensitive. That's what we need, sensitivity to the Spirit. You know? I know the Lord deals harshly with sin. I understand that. But there are souls that are dying lost without God. And we need somebody with a burden for souls. I'm going to say this with all this in me, and just as humbly as I know how. There's some here tonight. You've lost that burden. For whatever reason, not because of hate or anger or malice, but just because it slowly has slipped out. And you're not praying like you used to. That's right. I'm going to tell you, I know just as good when I ain't praying like I ought to, because my desire for souls starts slipping. I don't ever. And I pray this way. I say, Lord, I won't be sensitive. I won't be able to feel. There's been in this revival, I've laid hands on some of you and I've felt your burden. I just felt like you was going through so much. But you take the burden God gives you and you use it to reach a lost and a dying world. I appreciate this church, this house. This revival ought to continue. Not with me here. It ought to continue every service from here on out. Start pulling them in. Bring them in. They're not going. I don't have a name that draws a crowd. If you'd announced and said Billy Graham was been here, we probably could have filled this place up. If you'd have told them Jerry Kazee is going to preach, you might have filled it up. But I'm going to tell you something. What we need is burdens. And burdens will be what fills it up. Burdens. You can't save everybody. But there are some out there. The Bible said that we'll be able to rescue even pulling them out of the fire. Right on the very brink of going into eternity without God, we'll reach at the last moment and rescue them. And the very flames are gripping at their feet. We'll be pulling them out. As they get a song, I'm going to close. I know I hadn't read anything. I've read no text. But I poured you out of my heart. I had no plans on this tonight. I was going to preach on a whole different subject. I was going to preach on something totally different. But you know, my mind went, as I was preaching, my mind went to the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Caught in the very act. They brought her to Jesus. They didn't care about her. I mean, they really didn't care that she had committed adultery. That wasn't their purpose. Their purpose was to trip up Jesus. You see, they knew that the law said she's to die. The Roman law forbid capital punishment. The Romans wouldn't let them kill him. So they had Jesus on two counts, you see. If he said, let her live, then they had him. He wasn't really a Jew. He broke the Jewish law. But if he said, yes, she's to be stoned, then he broke the Roman law. And there she stands. Weeping. Weeping. Disheveled. Caught. And they accused her. Jesus never said she wasn't guilty. Jesus never denied what the law said. When the law said kill her, Jesus never denied it. Some of the greatest wisdom in the Bible is found right there in that scripture. He knelt. And he began to write on the ground. I'm going to tell you. When the Lord starts showing you what you are, you ain't so quick to look at somebody else. And the Bible said that they began by being convicted of their own conscience. And one by one they slowly walked out. And there stood that woman, guilty as sin. Didn't know what was going to befall her. And there stood the prophet of God. I reckon I'm going to get stoned by him. And then he looks up and everybody's gone. And he asks her a question, Lord, woman, where is thy accuser? And she said, I've got none. And then he tells her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Lest the worse thing come upon you. This woman had a reputation to outlive. Could you imagine being caught and brought before the church and accused? Huh? I mean, we like jumping on them adulterers and them fornicators and them drug addicts. But what about when we've lost our burden? You know, I'm not so much worried what causes a man to drink, smoke, and cuss. Or not so worried why he does. I'm worried what causes him to do it. It's what's in his heart. And until that's changed, he's going to smoke, cuss, and drink. He's going to act like Adam until somebody gets a burden for him. And God begins to deal with him. I prayed for conviction. I want conviction, don't you? I want it back in church like it ought to be. Not just for sinners, but for us, that we'll be convicted that we're not doing enough to reach the lost. Would you stand?